When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Welcome to the family with
Alex Brandt, Bernard Rasmussen,
Brad Blanks,
Hackmaster, Ralph W. Basham, MD,
co-host Catherine Brandt,
Andy Brandt, Bernard,
and Cassie Schrader.
We'll be right back. Thank you again to Kristen Bird. Always love talking to Kristen. Great show with Brad this hour. We got Augustine Burroughs coming up, one of my favorite writers of all time.
What?
Phenomenal. He's coming up the last segment of this
That's
show.
That's incredible.
So you got to light him up.
Yeah.
You know, you and Running with Scissors.
Yeah.
I'm just
he's an amazing...
he is a great writer.
He's one of the great authors of the world, and he's on your podcast, Tom.
You're damn right.
That's incredible.
Like one of the greatest entertainment reporters ever born, Brad.
No, that's funny. You're very kind to say that, but I am a reporter's asshole.
Yeah, boy, look at the time.
No, all I'm trying to do is, like, my whole bit, I hope there's some information in what I delivered to you and your audience, but all I'm trying to do is get the person I'm chatting to be funny, and it's the hardest thing, you deal with a lot of funny people, trying to get them to turn funny at the right time, and I'm going out there trying to interview these people and just trying to get them to be upbeat and happy and hopefully funny. So I don't think I'm a real reporter. But
I
enjoy being an idiot, and I've enjoyed it, being an idiot on your show for 18 years. So, yeah, it's been long. 2002 was when I started, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Amazing. Yeah, and what a world it is now. Yeah, the whole...
Everybody hates everybody.
Yeah.
Tell you what, we'll take a break here. We'll be right back. Brad's entire hour coming up next with the family.
Recently, the four Walser dealerships in Burnsville, Walser Subaru, Walser Honda, Walser Nissan, and Walser Mazda, encountered a hailstorm. Adjusters flew in from around the U.S. to handle a claim on what will be over 2,500 new and used cars. They've drastically reduced the pricing on these vehicles, and there are some wonderful bargains available. But here's the deal. I normally hate the hurry these won't last style of marketing, but in this case, it is true. It's not like they'll go into the back lot at night with hammers and make more. I also usually tell people to check them out online, but in the case of slightly damaged cars, you really do have to see them for yourselves. Stop out to Walser Mazda, Nissan, Honda, and Subaru just south of the Burnsville Mall on Buck Hill Road. If you really want to, you can tell them Tom sent you, but that sounds kind of dumb.
Michael Bryant, Brad Sean Bryant, what's the latest?
Well, basically, we're trying to represent people who have been hurt, then talk to them before they talk to an adjuster. One of the key points is to make sure you know what your rights are before you start talking to the insurance company and they start asking you questions or they try to settle your case early and cheap.
Well, what's interesting to me is, you know, a lot of people have fear of attorneys. It makes them very uncomfortable. They get nervous about it. What should I do? I've known Michael for years and years now, and I would highly recommend you. So that should be good enough for everybody, because I don't endorse people who are dirtbags.
Well, I appreciate that. But I guess the key is people think I'll charge them if I talk to them.
Right.
So a lot of people call me up. It's like, how much is this going to cost if you call me back? Like, you want me to call you back? How much will that cost? I don't charge people. The only way I get paid is if we recover, if we get money from the other side. And there's a lot of people I talk to that I never get paid for that are just part of giving them advice to make sure they know what they can do and what their rights are.
And your record's terrific as well, we should point out.
Well, it works. It's been good.
It's been good, ladies and
it's
gentlemen.
It's been good.
And how do they contact you?
Either through our website, which is minnesotapersonalinjury.com, minnesotapersonalinjury.com, or at 800-770-7008.
Michael Bryant, Bradshaw and Bryant.
We'll be right back.
Cassie's rocking out, ladies and gentlemen.
I am.
This is an interesting story. I just read the headline, so I don't know where this is going, but this ought to be an interesting story. Dozens of high school students walked out of classes near Portland, Maine on Monday in support of a teen who warned about a rapist in our school and was then suspended for bullying. How do you go from warning of a rapist to bullying? I definitely am ashamed to say I go to Cape Elizabeth High School, this being their reaction. Ayla Mansman tells WGME, claiming the three-day suspension violates her right to free speech. As the Washington Post reports, the 15-year-old student activist didn't mention names. And you're 15 years old. You're not an activist, okay? You're a loudmouth when you're 15.
Tell that to Greta.
Yeah, Greta Thunberg.
Yeah.
How about that idiot that said he forgot his sniper rifle? Did you see that?
Oh. What?
Yeah, some guy that was asked. He was asked about Greta Thunberg. The guy said, "Nah, I didn't go. I forgot my sniper rifle." A 15-year-old girl.
My goodness.
Are you doing? In any case, as the Washington Post reports, a 15-year-old student activist didn't mention names in the sticky notes she and two friends posted in two bathrooms on September 16th after what Ayla saw as the school's inadequate response to sexual assault allegations. Details are scarce, but school officials who took action in 4-7 investigations into sexual harassment or assault allegations in the previous school year say there's no rapist enrolled. Per the Portland, well, that's good. Hey, we checked the records. We don't have any rapists enrolled in this school. Well, that's good news.
Yeah. Documented.
We got some larceny, but no rapists.
Well, it says here, this is weird, though. It says the school says when a student's speech bullies another student, we are required by law and by school board policy to investigate and take proper action. But she didn't name anybody. She didn't name the rapist, did she? So far, I didn't see that she named him her.
It sounds to me like she was just trying to protest the fact that she didn't think this was investigated, or maybe she was one of the victims.
Yeah, maybe. The school defines bullying in part as creating an intimidating or hostile educational environment. Still, Ayla's parents, including a mother who co-founded the National Sexual Assault Prevention Group, Safe Bay, are appealing the suspension. Ayla, who can remain at school during the appeal, even walked out with 50 students on Monday in an enduring push for better reporting policies. I am so happy that I don't go to school anymore.
Yeah. So she protested and then took the kids left, walked off.
I guess. I don't really understand. She's going to find out her appeal, the outcome of her appeal tomorrow. It makes me angry that I'm being punished for bullying and a rapist isn't being punished for raping people. If the school said we don't have any rapists in the school, what is she talking about?
Well, I think she's using an extreme word. It sounds to me like there has been some sort of harassment going on in the school. Someone's complained.
Yeah.
And nothing's been done.
I guess. How about this guy we reported on yesterday? I talked to you about it this morning. The guy that sexually assaults one of the bridesmaids at his own wedding.
Yeah.
What? Well, yeah. And the woman still married the guy. Right.
After she found out?
She walked in on him when he was doing it.
Oh my goodness. And she's still married.
And she's still married.
What is wrong with her? I guess she deserves him.
Exactly.
But maybe that's their choice. Maybe they have an open relationship. Maybe they have an understanding.
You'd be a complete asshole and I'll still marry him. I think I caught you reading the part end of that story. Was there like a melee going on after? I mean, did she like freak out?
I'll read the story. It is unbelievable. Honest to God, this is absolutely unbelievable. 2 days before his wedding, police saw a Pennsylvania groom, or they say a Pennsylvania groom, sexually assaulted a bridesmaid, the Morning Call reports. The wedding party had been rafting on the Delaware River and perhaps not surprisingly drinking on August 30th, and the 29-year-old bridesmaid told police she was so intoxicated she kept falling off her paddleboard into the water. She was put onto a raft instead and
What? Why was she on a paddle?
That's amazing. You're right. That's awesome. Tom, this last paragraph was brilliant. It just took a turn. She's paddleboarding.
She was paddleboarding.
She was rafting and then paddleboarding.
Well, so the wedding party had been rafting on the Delaware River.
And then, not paddleboarding.
Well, that's true. They're not paddleboarding, but she was paddleboarding.
Right. She's very good into outdoor sports. They're very leisurely.
Yes,
that's
true.
Jumps from one thing to the next.
Andy, what time we got? When did we start?
Water sports.
Hold on. Just let me know when you restarted.
How much time is left? Almost 10 minutes. 5 minutes in.
Okay, we're 5 minutes in.
Almost exactly five.
Okay, so we got 10 to go. We're good to go. Excellent. Thank you. She was put on a raft instead and couldn't remember much after that. By the time the group arrived at Monroe County's Shawnee Inn, she says she couldn't stand on her own, and the bride-to-be of 28-year-old Daniel J. Carney asked him to help her to the parking lot. She says she woke up in the men's locker room with Carney biting her and grabbing her. She then passed out again and says this time she woke up to Carney on top of her with her bikini bottom pulled down. Then the bride-to-be walked in. The bride-to-be screamed at Carney, per the bridesmaid, and the police say the couple physically fought. It was chaos amongst the entire wedding party that night, and the next day she says, she married him anyway. He's in there raping a woman, and she marries the guy.
Did the bridesmaid attend? What? Did she stay there and attend the wedding and was still involved?
Apparently she did. The morning of the wedding, he apologized and asked her to take...
Oh, okay. He apologized, guys.
But wait till I tell you why he apologized. He apologized to her and then handed her a day after contraception.
This guy's a piece of work.
How insane is this person? These two people. Gotta hope these people don't have children.
He's trying to stop the child and the bridesmaid coming.
At least. And then he said to her, after he asked her to take the day after contraception, he asked her, quote, "Can we just be as happy as possible?"
Wow.
What a jerk.
What a psychopath.
Is he a Philadelphia Eagles fan?
Yeah, he must be. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It must be the case.
Yeah.
They say they have surveillance tape showing Carney pulling her into the locker room and heard a phone call in which he admitted to raping her. He's been hit with multiple charges, including simple assault. And she still married him.
She deserves it, I guess.
It'll be like, he was drunk.
Yeah.
He and they do all their doing.
Just wait. I'm sure probably in about a year's time they're going to be on Dr. Phil or something.
They'll be on Dr. Phil.
They do all their activities. They have great activities. They're going bungee jumping in New Zealand next month. They couldn't not get married. That's where their honeymoon. I'm just making that.
I was going to say. What are you cooking over there?
They're doing whitewater rafting in the Zambezi. I mean, they're very good at outdoor activities.
Who's the Zambezi?
Yeah.
I like
that's
it.
That's a good one. So why did this woman marry him?
I don't know. It doesn't say anything about her.
She
punched him in the face, though. I know that.
Okay.
I've heard all kinds of stories about, the bachelor party. He was so drunk, he didn't realize that he got, a BJ from a hooker. Blah, blah, blah. I've heard all these things, and they still marry him. They're so drunk, they didn't know.
Well, you know where my bachelor party was?
Where?
The Metrodome, watching the Twins beat the Yankees.
Really?
No.
That's exactly right.
What a night out.
Ken Herbeck hit about a 462-foot home run, too.
Yep. Andy's is on Friday, and my husband is hosting it.
Ah, there you go.
Where is that going to be?
Deja vu. Andy will be down there to strip
you. I don't
even know if Andy knows.
They're
going to
be rafting,
sure.
Stand-up paddleboarding.
Yeah, he's going to be stand-up paddleboarding.
Yeah, that's great.
Stand up paddleboarding for Andy.
Yeah. That's
awesome. Yeah, that'd go over huge, wouldn't it? That'd go over
huge. Hopefully, no molesting.
No.
Let's not molest.
Yeah, no bikinis pulled down, Andy. Keep your bikinis on.
Yeah, keep your bikini on, Andy. That's all there is to it. We should mention also, really sad news, Alex Trebek is going to retire from Jeopardy because apparently he is not going to make it. The way it's on, he said it's already affecting his speech because the chemo is giving him sores in his mouth and he slurs his words now. I love Alex Trebek. 35 years on Jeopardy. Did a great job. I have always, and Jeff Passolt was the first one to point this out to me years and decades ago. He goes, next time you watch Jeopardy, watch, because Alex Trebek does this every time. Somebody will make a guess and he'll go, "Oh no, I'm sorry, that's not right." He just whispers at him. "Oh no, I'm sorry, that's not right." The greatest. Oh man, but I will miss Alex Trebek. I think he does a hell of a job on that show, and I've been watching it for 35 years, and what are you going to do? Yep. Nice Canadian boy.
Who will replace him? That'd be
That's what I was trying to
say.
Who would want that job? I mean, it's a great job.
Yeah, in this modern time, you mean?
Like, yeah, like, but I just mean following Alex Trebek in there.
So you can only fall off a cliff.
I wonder if they'll have somebody that doesn't pretend that they know all the answers like he does.
He does pretend he knows all the answers.
Somebody might be like, whoa, you guys are smart.
You're reading it off a card. Come on.
Well, we all know that.
Did he start the show?
Did he?
No, it was Art Fleming was on the first three years.
Art Fleming was on the first three years,
and then he went on to do The Joker's Wild or something, and Alex Trebek came in from Canada.
I love game shows. I do too.
I still do.
They're so entertaining and fun.
Well, Jeopardy, you can actually learn something, which I really enjoy.
Yeah. It seems like people either watched game shows or soap operas.
Well, that was the thing. Like, if you were sick and stayed home from school, you were watching Price is Right. That was kind of the highlight of the day. Yes, I'm sick. It sucks, but I guess.
Now it's Family Feud. There's always Family Feud.
Oh, yeah. I can't stand him. Though. Like when I was God, I can't.
When
stand
I was sick
him.
With both my pregnancies,
Steve Harvey,
just like needing to lay in bed all day long, or else I'd vomit. I had to watch Family Feud because that was all that was on.
The problem I have with Steve Harvey is he's one of those guys. His accent changes by the minute. Right. It's like, let's say you know Alex was black and you're you. Yeah. I go. So, you're going to be on a show, going to be doing a great job, and let's get started. Okay, this is Brad Blanks. Okay, what would the man say? And then he turns to the black woman. Well, goddamn. All of a sudden, he's Mr. Homie. God, I hate that so much.
Mr. Homie.
He's putting on the urban deal. It annoys me so much, I can't even tell you.
And when add that to the list, Cassie.
Another thing that drives Tom nuts.
When was Louis' time on
Family Feud? Yeah. He was phenomenal on that show.
From what, 3 years or 4 years or longer?
It was about 4 or 5 years.
Was it that long?
I remember one time in the final Family Feud? What is it called on there when they do the final go round?
Oh my gosh, I know.
The lightning round. I don't know.
No, it's not the lightning round. But the greatest is. There was a question, and this woman answers it, and it was a terrible answer. Not even. And she goes, blah, blah, blah. There's a pause, and Louis Anderson goes, and I wanted you to win. He blasts her right on national television.
Nice.
That was very funny.
So did you know him then?
Louis?
Yeah, when he was on Family Feud?
That's when I met him.
Right.
When he was doing Family. Because the reason I remember that is because my mother loved him on Family. The day I introduced my mother to Louis Anderson, it was like she had gone to heaven. She thought Louis Anderson. But did he dote on her. Oh,
really?
Oh, Louis Anderson. Anytime Toots wanted anything. It's one time he's in town. He's at the Northrop Auditorium, right? And he goes and gives Toots a bobblehead doll of him. So she had a bobblehead doll of Louis Anderson and Governor Tim Pawlenty. Those are the two guys she just loved. Even though she's a Democrat, she loved Pawlenty. He was a Republican, which was good. And she actually told him, you know, Tim, I love you very much, but I'd never vote for you. Because he's Republican, right? That kind of deal.
Good way, from a political point of view, the attitude she has.
Exactly.
So she can still like the human being, but not necessarily like his political views.
Yes, exactly.
That's really, good on her.
So I'm sitting over there. And she goes, Louie, we're good friends, and I hope you don't mind if I ask you for a favor. And he goes, anything you need, Toots, whatever you need, we'll take care of it. And she goes, well, I was wondering if I could get some tickets to your show. He goes, absolutely, don't even worry about it. How many do you need? 22.
She brought everybody in the building.
Yeah.
She knew.
22 tickets. He's like, oh, God. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That's good. So Louis just keeps on working. Like, he's crushed the TV game again. I guess he's got Coming to America 2, which is
Coming to America 2 is coming out.
Is it filmed, do you think? Is that done, or is he filmed?
I think he's filming it now.
Now, yeah.
He's very upset that Baskets has come to an end, though. I just talked to him. Matter of fact, I talked to him on Saturday. I got to call him today, as a matter of fact, because he's asking about a mutual friend. But, he's not happy that Baskets is over. He loved doing that show.
They could easily do a standalone show with his character.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And, like, kind of have it in that same vein of, like, Raising Hope. That would be
I loved Raising
funny.
Hope.
Like, the writer, like, if you could get the writers from, like, Raising Hope, and what is his character named? Christine? Is that what it was in Basket? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do something like that with Louis. That would be funny.
What was that again? Raising Hope. The baby was born because of a serial killer mother having sex with a guy on a date.
In a van.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't even
she's
a date.
She's a serial killer. Oh, wasn't
she? She was running away from a guy that she was trying to kill, but she acted like she was
that's
the victim.
Right.
And she crawled into his van, and next thing you know, the van was a rockin', don't come a knockin'. And Hope came along.
That's right, and then Hope came along, Raising Hope, the daughter of a serial killer.
Oh, that show is so funny.
The great show. That's a
great
show.
What's that guy's name?
Bert? The
Which
dad?
Guy?
I'm looking it up.
The dad. The dad of Hope.
I can see his face.
Oh my Lucas God.
Neff.
Lucas Neff has played, he played the lead character.
Jimmy in the show.
Yeah, Jimmy. That was Lucas Neff. Yeah, he was really good.
Lucas Neff. Has he been in anything since then?
I think one other thing, but I can't remember it. We got to take a break here. We will be right back in a couple of minutes with the family.
It's Tom Bernard with North American Banking Company CEO and my buddy, Michael Bilski. Michael, let's say somebody has a plan to expand their business this year. How can North American Banking Company get that job done?
At North American Banking Company, we'll take time to understand the customer's needs and wants and their plans for the future. Once we have a good understanding of that, we'll try to solve their financing dilemma. We won't take a cookie cutter approach to any financing situation.
Wonderful. So if I need cash to expand my podcast, you got a plan for me too?
No.
God, thank you.
I see where this is going.
Well, we love working with you. We can help any business, including a podcast that's already very successful.
Who's better than you? That's what I want to know. I never liked you, though.
You are.
No, I never. Don't try to make up. I don't. Why not bank with my banker, North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. If you're one of those folks out there still putting up with contact lenses or dealing with glasses, think, just for a moment, what would it be like to wake up to a clear morning and experience your day with all the freedom LASIK brings? Well, I'm living proof. That dream can come true. Tom Bernard here for Whiting Clinic LASIK and Cataract. With the new year right around the corner, it's time to set your sights on 20/20 vision. Get $500 off LASIK through the end of the year at Whiting Clinic. If you're like me, not a big fan of glasses and contacts, then it's time for you to find out if you're a candidate for LASIK. Call 855-554-2020 or visit whitingclinic.com for your free LASIK consultation. The great people at Whiting Clinic will take fantastic care of you, just like they did for me. Imagine 2020 by 2020 and let 2020 be your best year yet with $500 off LASIK at Whiting Clinic.
Offer expires December 31st, 2019. Both eyes only, cannot be combined. Results may vary.
Another witch. When I look out my window. Love Donovan. Now we're talking. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Toil and Trouble, a memoir. Augustine Burroughs, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing very, very well. You changed my life forever with Running with Scissors. I will tell you that.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that. I hope for the better.
Yes. I thought...
Because I've heard the other way, you know.
Oh, you have? But some people didn't like it?
No, people have been... People have been great.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear that because I. How long ago was Running with Scissors released?
Like 50 years, it seems like.
I don't know, but it's been 50 years, Augustine.
I'd say 15.
2002. You know what's horrible is I think of myself as exactly the same age now as I was when I wrote Running with Scissors, and I live in Connecticut, and we don't really own mirrors, you know, because, like, it's rural. We're not in the fancy Martha Stewart part of Connecticut. we're in the, our Kmart just closed part of Connecticut.
Oh, so that's too bad.
I love it because you don't have to dress up to go out to get groceries. You can just go in your yard, you know. So it's a shock to be on a book tour because I'm near all these very clean things, all these reflective surfaces. And I keep catching these glances of this horrifying animal following me. And it's like, oh, it's me. I've aged like 25 years since the last time I looked in a mirror.
Yeah, I know. I know exactly what you're saying. You know, one thing that I learned very quickly from Running with Scissors and several other, of course, books. How many books do you have out now? It's got a ton of them.
So Toil and Trouble makes number 10.
Number 10. Wow. Yeah, there you go. That's wonderful.
I know, it's a lot.
What I really like about
9 of them are memoirs.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Well, that, but that's what I was going to say. Your honesty makes these memoirs very, very special. And that's what struck me when I first started reading your books, is this man is absolutely honest about everything. And I really admired that. And it kind of taught me a lesson in life. Let's just be honest about everything, and people will do really well if you just be honest.
You know what I find, too, is that when you are honest, so many more people relate. You can relate to so many more people than...
Yep.
I remember I was on a book tour during the Bush-Gore election, where the country was, like, divided. It was, remember the news back then? It was all red states and blue states and, like...
Yep. Yep.
Civil War, and we all hate each other. And I was on a book tour, and I never knew what color state I was in, because everyone was really basically the same. I mean, it was the same. We were the same. It was the same. Yeah, political differences aside, the things we want are all pretty much the same. Love, security, good things for kids, the kids, you know, no crazy people, you know. I mean, it's just, I find that just... when I tell the truth about my life and the mistakes I've made or the embarrassing things that I've done, and I've done a lot, I've made a lot of horrible mistakes, and I've, you know, my behavior's been terrible in a lot of ways. That goes in the book.
That's why I love your writing.
Relate to it because, you know, everyone has had their moments when they're not, you know, not perfect.
Well, and that's exactly it, but I think... To tell you the truth, again, looking back, so you said 2002 for the last 17 years or 18 years or whatever it's been now. That did strike me, and that's what I look for. And you don't, you know, it's interesting you brought up that book tour you were on, because we're back in that whole situation with red states and blue states and everybody hates one another.
And I know.
And I do a morning talk show as well. And I'd love to, by the way, book you on the morning talk show, too, because that has a really big audience, and I'd like to sell even more books for you. That'd be wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
I would love to do that. But see, I think with you, Augustine, that you tell the truth, and therefore nobody's going to be negative with you. Or you're out there just saying, hey, this is how it is. I know there's some things I did I shouldn't have done. This was embarrassing. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of this, whatever. You can talk to a human being like that, but if they're covering things up, you could tell.
Exactly. I so funny, because sometimes when I'm down in like the Bible Belt on a tour, mm-hmm. it's funny. Women, I've had this happen multiple times, enough that it stood out. I've had people tell me my husband would never want me to be, you know, to read one of your books, so I changed the covers.
Oh,
you know,
what?
I put on like a different. I put on a different cover on the front of the book, which I think is funny.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. You know, just you know, I don't know.
If Dan ever then told want, you know, me to not read a book, I'd be like, why don't you kiss my ass?
Exactly.
Read what I want.
Exactly. I'll read whatever I wish. That's all there is to it. Augustine, do you think that holding a book, now I know a lot of people have their Kindles and all the rest of it, but holding a book for me is huge.
Everything.
Yeah, and I don't like it. I like holding on to a book. We just flew... across the United States a couple of times here in the last week, and having that book in my hand to get on that airplane is something I to this day, I just love it all these years later. I love having that book in my hand, sitting in my airplane seat and reading a book, man. It's great.
I know. I feel the same way, and I accept I had a turning point. I can't mention the author because it would be too awful, but super famous. Everyone worships her. You know, she takes like 85 years between books, and they're all huge, and I'm reading her gorgeously written book, and I get to the end, and I'm like, oh, no, you didn't. Oh, no, that's not how it ends. I did not just read. Oh, no, you're not doing that. I was, like, ready to open the emergency door just so I could throw the book out.
Wow.
I was like, I am never going to get trapped on a book. This is never happening to me again. So that's when I started reading on my phone.
Oh, you did that.
And
okay. All right.
I got used to it, you know. I'm used to it now because you can bring lots of – and I did. I used to bring several books, but – now I can bring several more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true. That's a very, very good point. You can bring a lot of books.
That's one good thing. But it's true. But you know what? I also love the feel, like the weight and the pages and the book.
Yep.
So you actually know, these days you really often, too, you don't know what people are reading because they're on there, you know. So all these guys you see, it's so funny because I always think this, like all these guys walking around with shorts and flip-flops, you know, like that's the new guy uniform in public is like dude shorts, they're too long, cargo shorts. Sandals, rubber bracelet, you know, and you just know they're reading about like unicorns.
They're reading romance, you know? Novels.
Yeah, they totally are. They're reading Nora Roberts. And they're so happy that they can finally read Nora Roberts and no one knows. Yeah, my buddies don't have to know.
Yeah, my buddies don't have to know. I
keep a Field and Stream handy just in case.
Yeah, just in case. I'm a guy's guy. That's all I am, a guy.
Exactly.
Augustine, I want to hear about Toil and Trouble, a memoir.
All right. Well, you know, when I was a little kid, it kind of started when I was 8 and I was on a school bus. And I was coming home. We lived in on a dirt road. And there were two little bridges, wooden little bridges, very small, because it was two creeks. But the bus would bump over them. And on the second bump, my grandmother, Amma, her forehead, I saw her face in my, right in my face, you know, like an image. And she had a big gash on her forehead. And I just knew something was really, really wrong with her. And I ran up the driveway and rang the doorbell, and the mother answered it. She was on the phone, which, of course, back then was attached to the cord, which was attached to the wall. So the phone was, like, stretched to the limits. And I was like, what happened to Amma? Something happened to Amma. Something bad happened to my grandmother. What? And she sort of said goodbye to the person on the phone, and she said, that was your Uncle Mercer. Your grandmother has just been in a car accident. And she has a lacerated forehead and a punctured lung, but she's going to be okay.
My God.
Whoa.
And I said, she's going to be okay? And she said, yes. And then I said, Mom, how did I know? And then she got the strangest look on her face. It was like this mixture of pride, surprise, with mischief almost. And she just bent down to my level, put me in her arms, and she said, because you are my son. And she explained, do you know what a witch looks like? And I was like, yeah, like on The Wizard of Oz. Like the dumb, blonde-haired witch that I wish a house had fallen on, and the really cool witch who could train monkeys. She was like, yes, but no, actually that's not what a witch looks like. Your grandmother, and your Aunt Curtis, and me, and you. And I was like, wait, what does this mean? So the women in my mother, on my mother's side of the family, the women were all really smart, and they were, like my grandmother was a Latin scholar, and my Aunt Curtis was a mathematician and a computer scientist who programmed a satellite. I think it was the first satellite we sent up. And these people were witches. So my mother taught me every day after school. And this is before Running with Scissors. People who read Running with Scissors might remember my mother as being severely mentally ill, just off the wall bonkers, and that she was. But before that, she was a completely different person. So she was, you know, very, very, very smart and creative. So she would paint, do her oil paintings, and I would be there, you know, sort of watching. And she taught me what it is, and that view of it, of her instruction, had stayed with me my whole life, and it's just sort of how I've seen it. I know that it is something that is it's in the brain. It's like, okay, so you know how dogs can hear sounds in a very, very high register that we can't hear? So to us, well, those sounds, they don't wake us up from sleep ever. We don't hear them, and to us, they're actually not real. Those sounds don't exist. They're not part of the world. They're not real things, except we know they are. We just lack the sensory apparatus to hear those sounds. Witchcraft, I believe, is the same thing. And I believe that it is something that either all of us or many of us, or perhaps just some of us, have to greater or lesser degrees that people often call by a different name. You know, people might say, well, it's a woman's intuition.
Yeah,
or
right.
a powerful gut instinct, or a really strong hunch. And, I mean, I know people, and I think you know people, and maybe perhaps you yourself have experienced in your life a moment when you've done something that was not technically rational. You know, like you haven't thought of somebody in 15 years, and all of a sudden when you're, you know, fixing the car, changing the oil, or cleaning, or ironing, or making dinner, you think all of a sudden, you know, you can see their face. And mm-hmm. boom.
That's happened.
An hour later, they check up on you on Facebook. That's the kind of universal experience we've all had. You know, back when, you know, the telephone would ring. Sometimes it's like you knew who it was before you even picked it up, even if it was someone who didn't call regularly. Or you've had a really bad feeling about someone that turns out they've, you know. So because I was raised to not only believe, trust that feeling, but to know that it was a really, really, really important thing, I never dismissed it. I always paid attention to it and focused on it and developed it. So it's very strong in me. And I'm going to tell you something that's not in the book, but it's a perfect example. My office, we live in a 200-year-old house in Connecticut. My office is in the attic. And every morning, you know, I wake up, I go downstairs to the kitchen, get coffee, and go back up to the attic and work. And so this, on this particular morning, ordinary day, nothing out of the ordinary. I'm walking through the dining room, because I see almost like a vertical line right through my field of vision, and I know it's knowledge that I may have trouble reaching the attic, or there may be damage in the attic. Now, I have collected jewelry since I was a kid, and you know, I have some valuable things that I kept up there. So I just turned around, and I walked upstairs to the attic, and I packed all the jewelry and treasures and things into a black leather suitcase. I brought it downstairs, put it under the dining room table, went into the kitchen, got coffee, sat on the couch, and heard an explosion and jumped off the couch as the glass flew into the room. So what had happened was this enormous tree, also 200 years old, dropped a branch onto the top of the house, and half of the branch slid down onto the patio. The other half pendulumed in to the living room window, and it punched the window right, like not just the glass, but the whole window frame and all, punched it into the room. And I went upstairs to the attic, and it was fine. There was no damage, but everything on the side of the room that the branch hit, which was the side of the room where I had jewelry and everything of value, everything on that side of the room was now on the other side of the room. So this book contains lots of examples of things like that, and my life has been all a never-ending string of things like that. And that's how I know that it's something real. And I think back to when we first, you know, were sort of like living in the cave, and, you know, mother was with the children maybe in the cave or the hut or the homestead, and the mate was out and he was, you know, gathering food or hunting. And let's just say, let's imagine that bobcats, you know, cougars are sort of circling the camp. She needs a way basically to text her husband and say, you got to get home right now. There's like a whole bunch of bobcats and they're kind of looking at me like I'm dinner. She needs a way to text him and tell him to get home. And that would benefit our species. That would help us stay alive. And you know what? We have that. We have that ability. I know we had it and we still have it. Some of us still have it. And it's like my mother used to say, a witch can't do anything that defies the laws of the laws of the universe. We can do many, many, many things that people believe are against the laws of the universe, because the laws of the universe are actually not understood. They're not fully understood. They're not really, they're not very well understood at all. So it's for me, you know, it's not really about a cauldron and a broom and a pointy hat and right. herbs. And there are a lot of witches, I think, that do love that kind of, I love all the witchy things, but they don't really have anything to do with it. You know, they're sort of like, they're like leather seats in a car. They're optional. You don't really have to have them.
they're nice, though. The radio. They're nice. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No,
I really think of it as something that's more in the brain. It's a thing that's not, it's not yet discovered. And it's just been too much of my life. You know, now the coincidence is explained by this 1980s paper called The Law of Truly Large Numbers. And that was written by a couple of statisticians, and they say, oh, you who think coincidence is important, don't understand numbers like we do, because we are mathematicians. So here, we will explain it to you. Of course, one day you're going to get on a plane and sit next to somebody who has the same name that you have. Maybe they're even from the same hometown. And it's going to feel significant and important, like perhaps this is a friend. But that, it's not significant, and it's not important. In fact, it's to be expected. What will be astonishing is if you never experienced that, and that's all fine and well, but the law of truly large numbers doesn't explain is if your life is a series of just constant coincidences, demonstrable significance. I mean, if I had not packed up the valuable stuff in my attic like that, it would have been tossed across the room and damaged.
Mm-hmm. Or you could have been over there.
I can give you countless examples. Sorry?
I said, or you could have even been over there on that side of the room.
Exactly. So I really think that it's something that, it's witchcraft and witch. It's something that's just deeply, deeply misunderstood. People associate it with Satan, which it has nothing to do with Satan. People are scared of it because maybe they're Christian and they feel like, I'll go to hell for this. But it has nothing to do with any kind of God or any kind of worship at all. I really believe it's much closer to having perfect pitch or, it really is like a very powerful sort of sixth sense. It's more related to hearing in the dog registry. It's also, making things happen with the mind. And by that I mean, that's about extraordinary concentration and focus. You know, it's just a very, 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 very powerful focus. You know, and it's not focused to lift the car off the parking lot and turn it upside down.
Right.
You know, and it's not. I wish it were. It's just really more of a personal sort of achievement thing of getting what you want. And it doesn't mean you don't work for it, but it just means it's sort of the training, the focus is there. I mean, my mother was teaching me as a child that, you know, it's not you want anything, but you must instead focus and see, in fact, that it has happened. That's why when I was at the height of my alcoholism, I was just I was an alcoholic to my 20s and 30s, and I was really bad shape, you know, really, really, really bad. I had, you know, neurological damage and hallucinations and the whole nine yards, and mm-hmm. I knew I was dying from alcohol poisoning at any point. And one random day, I woke up and I started writing something, and it was made me laugh, and I kept writing, and by the fourth day, I couldn't drink anymore because it was getting in the way of the writing, and
seventh
day, I finished a book, and I didn't know if it was a good book or a bad book, but I did know one thing: I'm going to do this for the rest of my life, and I'm going to be published, and there was no doubt I was going to be published. That was as certain as I've ever been about anything. Now, I didn't know if it would happen, in 10 years or 20 years or 30 years. And I certainly had no idea if, you know, I mean, I would sell one copy, but I knew it would happen. And it did happen. It happened in 12 months. And 12 months after that, or maybe it was 15 months after that, my face was on the cover of USA Today for a month.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the focus. That's like the certainty that it would happen. Just, it was not within the realm of possibility that it wouldn't. So that's sort of how I have lived my life. And I was never going to talk about this. I was never going to write this book because one thing my mother said to me when I was a kid, which is true, was that, you know, witchcraft is not supernatural. It's the most natural thing there is. But it's private because people don't believe it's a real thing. It's the Halloween costume.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you go around and you say, I knew such and such was going to happen 3 days before it did, then I think you're insane because that is supposed to be impossible. So... because I was bullied so much in school, it didn't take much convincing for me to shut up and just to, I never told anybody. I mean, I've never told a soul. And boom, then I write a book about it.
The book
and
is
I hadn't called, planned on it.
The book is called Toil and Trouble, a memoir, Augustine Burroughs, B-U-R-R-O-U-G-H-S. Terrific. Augustine, really, I've never had a chance to talk to you before. And after all these years, now 17, 18 years, as I said, I saw your name on the docket today and thought this is going to be phenomenal. And for once, I was right. You were terrific. Augustine, thanks so much for your time. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Take care.
You too, sir. Augustine Burroughs, ladies and gentlemen, the book's called Toil and Trouble, a memoir. I got to read something to you.
Okay.
Augustine Burroughs, here's a partial list of things I don't believe in. God, the devil, heaven, hell, Bigfoot, ancient aliens, past lives, life after death, vampires, zombies, Reiki. What is Reiki?
Oh, Reiki.
Energy work.
Yeah.
Energy work?
Like
Reiki.
Chakras and all that.
Homeopathy, Rolfing, and reflexology.
Rolfing?
Yeah, hey,
Rolfing.
Hey,
Ralph Basham.
Not Rolfing.
Not vomiting.
What's Rolfing?
Rolfing is another way. I think they like
muscle
pick you up and...
Isn't it?
Shake you around.
Oh, that's not
that.
Shake you
around.
I thought
like
it was
that.
Muscle manipulation.
It's all related.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Be right back. We got Brad Blanch in studio. The final segment coming up right after this with the family. Tom here for Sabre Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Right now, Sabre and Bryant are teaming up to offer 0% financing for 36 months when you buy a new Bryant furnace. This is the perfect time to replace your old furnace with a new trouble-free, energy-efficient furnace from Sabre. And when you buy Bryant equipment, you're getting one of the most trusted names in the industry. This 0% offer is available for a limited time. Call Sabre Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning to find out more, and please tell them that Tom sent you. Sabre and Bryant, whatever it takes. It's Tom telling you that you can lose an average of 26.2 pounds on the 40-day weight loss program powered by Nutrimost. I lost 92.5 pounds in less than 5 months, thanks to the Sheehy brothers and the Ultimate Wellness and Weight Loss Program powered by Nutrimost. And I encourage you to let them help you lose weight as they teach you how to stay healthy and keep that weight off. Take it from me. Having a coach keeps you accountable, and it makes achieving your goals so much easier. Let the Ultimate Wellness and Weight Loss Program powered by Nutrimost help you. Schedule your immediate consultation or attend the Nutrimost free dinner at 6:30 p.m. on Monday, August 19th at Jake's in Plymouth. Call now, 763-333-7337. That's 763-333-7337. Study data comes from client-submitted data to a third party for tracking of daily weight loss and progress is new to most weight loss programs. See website for full disclaimer details. Well, we're going to wrap it up with Brad, and we still will, but he's pooping right now. So.
Well, we don't know that.
Yeah, he ran down there with his cheeks clenched.
Yeah, you're not sitting next to him.
Yeah. Yes, he had to go to the loo. Andy, you can start the clock whenever you want to, and we'll just go from there. That'd be good.
What happens when you leave the room?
Thank you again to Augustine Burroughs, ladies and gentlemen, one of the best. If you've never read anything by Augustine Burroughs, you need to, because he's a very honest, very open about his sexuality, about his alcoholism, about everything. He's a really honest guy. And also, Another reason I connected with him so well is his experience with his mother was much like mine with my father, except for, you know, she didn't get violent with him, but she, well, she, in her own way, she did.
I read that book so long ago. I remember,
Running with Scissors?
Yeah, I remember bits and pieces of it. But it
sounds like it's depressing.
Well, it could be.
Yeah, it was.
It could be considered depressing.
And he also didn't make himself look really nice.
No, he did not. That's why I liked it so much, because he was so honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe he's on a speaking tour.
Why?
He never has been before, I don't think.
Hasn't he ever toured?
Not that I know of.
Huh. What did he say, 10th book?
10th book, yep. Yeah. 10 books.
Surprising his publisher would let him get away with not touring.
Well, I think, to tell you the truth, back 17 years ago, he intimidated the hell out of people because he was just too honest. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Whereas now, maybe people have adjusted to it. So how'd everything come out?
Sorry, yes. Great loo. Great toilet. Yes.
It's a great toilet.
Yep.
Warm water.
Yep.
So, good.
I hope.
That's great studio. Soap in Minnesota. Yes, it's great.
Show you how special my life is. Three great people, ladies and gentlemen. Augustine Burroughs, Kristen Bird, and Brad Blanks, all in the same
chair. What a day.
I can't believe I'm up with a New York Times best-selling author. Yeah, I'm on the bill.
So when I was telling that story about the one bar that I bought at the airport.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
You know one bars, right? The little energy bars?
Uh-huh.
They're called one bars. I bought a Time magazine, which I have not read in about 30 years, a Time magazine, and a one bar. So I'm on the plane, and I read the Time magazine from cover to cover in about 35 seconds because there's only about four pages in it. I mean, literally, I would be shocked if there were more than 20 pages in that
magazine.
Last
time I looked at one, it's like a leaflet.
It's a leaflet now.
Like Vogue. Vogue, that's a magazine you read in 35 seconds. It's about a three-quarters inch thick, and it's just all pictures.
All ads and pictures.
It is all ads,
beautiful women in beautiful clothes.
Time magazine is nothing but politics, and it's all very, very slanted, and it's a leaflet now. It really is. It's not even a magazine anymore.
And Sports Illustrated's nearly done, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's done, too, yep.
They fired people the other day.
Yep.
Really?
Absolutely. So the other thing about that was my one bar, I sit down in my airplane seat, and I'm going to have my one bar. I pick it up, turn it over. A one bar was
$5. Wow. Did you savor it?
Yeah.
Yes, after I found out it was $5, I did, absolutely.
He nibbled on
nibbled,
it.
$5.
It has caffeine in it, or?
Coconut flavored protein.
Does it have CBD oil in it?
Nope.
Well, then what are you paying for there? You're not getting that.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Airport convenience, baby.
Did it have Viagra in it? No.
Ixnay.
Don't get that.
That's an odd
jump.
It's for the Mile High. Odd jump, Brad.
Sorry. It's just for the people that want to join the Mile High Club. Try the one bar.
By myself? Gee, thanks. That would have been a ball for me. Hey, I'll be right back. People have to hit the bathroom door.
Yeah.
Come on!
I mean, there's big cutbacks in Time magazine. The toilets are smaller on airplanes now,
too.
Oh,
they are,
too,
man.
You couldn't fit two people in there.
How do you stand up in an airplane toilet?
No, I use my head as my hands, because I have to...
I put my head
in there, and I jack myself up, and I use two hands, always two hands for beginners, as I'm peeing in there. sometimes I use a shoulder and lock it in.
I'm getting no visuals, thank God. And I'm happy.
Because they're rounded now. The toilets are rounded.
Yeah, they are. So, they are.
Yeah, they know you.
You need to back in.
That's right.
Yeah. Back in.
Like a horse pee. Or a horse breeding. Sorry, more.
Back right in.
So it's been great to be here. I've had a great time. I was sad on the baseball last night. It was sad. The Twins didn't.
We're so used to it.
Yeah, I know. But I want you guys, when you guys win a national championship in football or basketball or baseball, it's going to be unbelievable. Yeah, it's going to be.
I mean, after 1991, the last time we did it?
Yeah.
Although the women's teams here do very well.
They do well.
Men's teams suck, but the women's teams are good.
Yeah, and I'll be back and I'll support you guys. You know, you're my second town. This town's been good to me. So thank you. Thank you. I'm pumped. You know,
it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's wonderful. But, as I said, Tom, I've got to hurry up and finish that damn book. Because I want to be interviewed by you.
Well, how much time do you have? How much more do you have left to do?
No, I've finished the book. It's a story of my first 2 years
when I came to America with, you know, nothing. And it's a story of me. I finished it. I've just got to revise it and clean it up and then get it out into the world. It's a story about how I got the job on radio, how I then had to quickly change within the job, and then how I kept the job. So it's sort of that three-prong attack.
I like
of,
it.
And it's a story of failure and me ending up. And it's up until when I meet my now wife. So it's 2 years. So I want to try and slip a couple of shagging stories in there.
Or Catherine would appreciate if I did that on the show.
Yeah.
Remember that one time, Catherine.
But I made love to that beautiful woman from Brazil. Well, I'm talking about Tom, not me. Just, I don't know.
What?
That was not a projection. That was personal.
Oh, boy, look at the time.
You want to get back to that two hands part? Yeah, I need two hands. Two hands for beginners or two hands for real men.
Yeah,
that's right. Gifted men. There you go.
The gifted men, like in Catherine's picture that she got.
Yes. And there won't be any shagging stories either, Catherine.
Should we close with that? Because Brad hasn't heard that.
The dick pic?
The dick pic.
Oh, did you do one and send it to Catherine?
No, I did not do it.
I got a random dick pic.
That would be gold. Okay. It leaked. Tom Bernard's fappening.
I'll open it. Catherine will close it. So she goes, God, this is weird. I said, what? She goes, I got a dick pic. I said, what?
No.
Apparently it's called airdropping. You can airdrop them in. She goes, I got a dick pic.
This was text message to me.
And I said, from who? She goes, I have no idea who sent it to me. And I said, well, how do you know it's not me? She goes, oh, no, this is way too big.
That's way too much.
It was this big.
That's awesome.
That's what she
said. It was this big.
That's what she says to you.
I didn't even know what it was at first because it was so ginormous.
Really good. Wow.
But I'm like, wait a minute, are those?
Three words.
I'm like, are those two little testicles? It's a dick. Oh, God. Yeah.
Three words. Photoshop.
That's it.
Oh, believe me. No.
I got
a dick pic this big.
But how quick did she jump on? Oh, no, it's way too big. Couldn't possibly be you.
That's love. That's true love.
Boy, look at the time. Brad, always a great pleasure to have
you. Thanks, mate. Wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Plus, there was waxing in this one. You don't do that.
There's waxing?
It was groomed.
Oh, they want you to see everything, huh?
It was all clean.
Manscaped.
I love how the son is the mature one in the room.
Yeah, well, isn't that the truth? We'll talk to you tomorrow with the family.